Hello everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Lost in Translation. This time we're covering Digimon Adventure 2020, episode 16, The Jet Black Shadow Invades Tokyo. I'm May, and I'm joined by Quinn.
Howdy.
So Stevie is unable to make it this week, but they have provided us with the thoughts that we will read in Stevie's stance.
Indeed. Gosh, this was a good episode.
So I guess onto the synopsis so we can talk about the good episode.
Yes.
We get the Digimon Encyclopedia, which is Garurumon this time, and Koshiro wonders if sitting on Garurumon is comfortable or if Yamato has to sit on a pillow. And this is really, really cute. Like,
I wish they would actually ask these questions in the episode and get answers, but I do appreciate this section.
Yeah, I really appreciate it too. Like, it's a nice bit of flavor to the characters. Like, I mean, it still freaks me out when Koshiro wondered what's underneath Gobumon's pelt, and he wants to take a peek one day. Like, that was mildly horror movie-esque, but most of the time they're just really nice, and it's just kind of like this cute bit of fluff, and I really do enjoy it. Like, I'm absolutely here for it. We're getting Bergamon next week, so hopefully we get some insight into Bergamon, because I think Biomon's encyclopedia entry was quite nice, how Koshiro mentions Sora, and Sora is improving Biomon's flying ability. Like, that was really sweet.
That was really nice, I forgot that.
Like, probably the best part of the episode, like, of that episode.
Yeah.
But, so the episode begins, and once again, the opening has the weird sound effects playing, which is just...
I think we just have to accept that it's always going to be there.
Yeah, but it's just so weird that we got an updated ending, like, outro song and animation, but for the intro, we just got the sound effects.
Yeah.
Like, no updated animation, no updated song, just sound effects, and it's just... I really hope it gets updated, because the sound effects just are slightly jarring. I don't know. Anyway... So Taichi's group have found themselves back in Japan, in the human world. They're in Ginza. Their Digimon are all completely amazed, and Taichi notices that the power failure appears to be completely over, and wonders if the disaster ended already. Koshiro says that they haven't found the holy Digimon yet.
Yep.
Mimi, who is a mood for the entire episode.
Oh my god, I love her so much.
She's so good. So she's so happy to be home, and she's saying, I'm going to shower, I'm going to change, I'm going to listen to music, I'm going to go shopping, and I'm going to eat. And it's just, it's really realistic. Like, I feel like Mimi is
the most
realistic character.
Can we start, like, a religion that just worships Mimi?
Yeah, I'm okay for that. Like, religions have been formed over less, so that is completely reasonable. But Mimi felt so realistic this episode, and it made Taichi and Koshiro seem kind of... Yeah, monotone and flat.
It really did.
Like, they were just stating things like, oh, I guess everything's back to normal. And Mimi's just like, I'm gonna shower, I'm so excited, I'm home. And it's just really nice.
We didn't even get,
like,
food jokes out of Agumon.
Well, maybe that's just not this Agumon.
That's fair. I'm just, you know, I was still surprised. Mm. I could see Izzy being a little, like, wary and, this doesn't make sense, but... For Tai not to be excited to get to see his mom and his sister and have a bath feels, you know, unreasonable.
Yeah, like, yeah, especially because he's, like, you know, he's a kid. Like, he would be excited to be home because surely being in the digital world. Yeah, and also the digital world is scary. You're faced with death the whole time. He's finally home. He doesn't mention, oh, I finally get to see my sister and see if she's okay, which I found weird.
Doesn't mention a word about her.
Like, if Yamato was in the... what he thought to be the real world, he would definitely say, I get to see Takaru, or at least he would think about Takaru, but...
I'm sorry, he would have, like, torn off to get there as fast as possible.
He wouldn't have even said anything, he would have just ran, because that's
yeah,
Yamato.
Somebody,
like,
would have stopped him and asked him what was up, and he'd have said, I gotta go see my brother or something, because, duh.
Yeah, but Taichi didn't even, like, well, compared with the original Home Away From Home.
Yeah.
Taichi was very happy to be home, and even though he knew he had to go back to the digital world, he was almost trying to convince himself that this was okay to stay in the original, and this Taichi's just sort of, like... more, like, I can't really say reasonable, because it's not reasonable for a 10-year-old to be so aware, unless they're Koshiro, which is fine, or I guess Joe, but Joe is also sometimes willing to believe things that aren't necessarily true in order to be more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just got this really weird impression from Tai Chi that it just felt mildly out of character or out of, like, just unreasonable in general. But Mimi is just so relatable.
Yeah, they gave all relatable. The resources to Mimi this week, and I'm so here for it.
I think she probably had, like, the most amount of lines. Like, a lot of Tai Chi and Koshiro's lines were just saying the same things as each other.
Mm-hmm. Huh, it's weird that power is back on. Anyway.
Yeah.
That and just, so, like, he even made plans to, like, go home and come back and hang out with people. Like, do you not have other things going on right now?
Yeah. And also, at this point, like, it seems fairly much that, like, oh, this is fake or a trap, and Tai Chi's and Koshiro's phones can't connect to the network at all. So they're
line.
Kind of like, no, it's a very quick sort of our phones can't connect. And then Mimi invites them to go to Burger Jack, which I guess is Hungry Jack's, so that's because she really wants to have this avocado cheeseburger.
That's why she'll never run just, home.
Yeah, basically. And also, like, I'm not sure if anyone else had this, but I was really craving, like, an avocado cheeseburger the entire time watching this. Like, Mimi just is so, like, such a good salesperson for it.
Right? I can take or leave avocados, but I have to admit, when she, like, got there, the burger looked pretty damn good.
But it was just, I don't know, I really appreciated the fact that we had Mimi who wanted food, and it is really nice to see a girl character be, like, very into eating, because, you know, you have to eat to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And she probably hasn't had, like, a real meal for a while.
You know the dub is going to make some kind of joke about how it's a cheat day or whatever. Ugh.
Yeah, I hope not, because that's, like, I don't know, I would just want someone to be happy with eating, and 10-year-olds tend to not be on diets and not know about diets and just, like eating.
Should not be.
Yeah, kids are just like, kids will eat, and, like, their diet is imposed by their parents, but only in a reasonable way, like ice cream sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's really nice. And so the three kids and their three Digimon get train tickets, and I just, like, the other thing that sort of set me off that this wasn't a real thing is the fact that nobody is screaming about the Digimon.
Yeah, although I did think it was adorable that they bought train tickets for the Digimon.
Yeah, like, they're just so honest. Like, well, we can't have them fair evade.
Because, yeah, I'm pretty sure in the original they just were like, yeah, just pretend to be a stuffed animal.
Yeah, they were. Well, to be fair, they were there in training. Have we seen most of their in training forms?
I technically don't think we have confirmation that in training forms exist.
No, well, Coromon was Coromon.
Oh, right. And I think that's it.
And Tarnimon in the Tarnimon village.
Okay. Yep, okay.
So Mimi and Tai Chi. Yeah. So we haven't... And that's another bit of a comparison between this and the original, is that when the Digimon reverted back from perfect or ultimate to another form, they reverted to their in-training forms.
Mm-hmm.
This time they're just reverting to child.
Yep.
But I kind of like when they're small, because they're easy to transport. But I guess it makes this episode even weirder that no one's reacting to the giant dinosaur or the giant ladybug or the walking plant.
No, I'm here for it, but yeah. I also appreciate that Mimi was just like, yeah, let's go introduce you to my parents, instead of a contrived, okay, we gotta hide you now.
Yeah, like, straight away she was just like, yeah, I can't wait to introduce you to my parents, they're gonna be fine because you're a cool person, they're gonna listen to me, and it's gonna be great.
Exactly.
Like, oh, Mimi.
And, like, I'm sorry, I get magic powers or something, the first thing I do is text my mom and be like, OMG.
And also, Mimi's parents are probably the coolest parents.
It's true.
Yeah, her mum is just so precious, and her dad and her mum just love each other so much. It makes me happy.
I am glad I made my prediction last week that if we were in the real world, it would be a bad episode, and I'm really glad that we were not.
Yeah, I was a bit worried too. Like, I thought that, like, okay, we can't have, like, two good episodes in a row because it's Digimon. We have, like, well, three good episodes, rather.
Yeah.
We're going to have an absolute shocker, and it's just going to be them in the real world and then realizing they have to go back because their job isn't done, and then they're going to be sad. And then we didn't get that at all because they weren't really in the human world.
Yeah. No, it worked out pretty well. Apologies if there's any beeping on my recording. I think my Roomba is out of power.
Oh, okay. Don't you just hate when your robot that is your maid runs out of power?
I do. Actually, that thing is really cool. It normally will go dock itself back on the charger when it's done.
Oh, I want a Roomba. I want to, like, And I'll call it like Hugramon or something. Or Gardramon.
Oh, I gotta name my Roomba. Anyway, we can do that later.
But, anyway.
Hey, we should have a poll on the Twitters about what I name my Roomba.
We definitely will, and that means I don't have to edit this part out because it's relevant to the podcast. So, What should Quinn call her Roomba?
It's true.
Anything, just please let us know, because
we'll pick our four favorites and we'll make a Twitter poll.
I like this. It's done. All right. So, they get their train tickets. And then on the subway, Koshiro wonders how they were able to get home. And Mimi wonders if they defeated a Digimon. And then Mimi has the best, like idea. She's like, oh, Sora's team must have done it. Which is just like...
That is she a calls good idea. Them
She calls them Sora's so team. She doesn't call it Yamato's team. She calls it Sora's team. And that's really nice because I guess we've kind of been trained to call them, you know, Yamato's team or Taichi's team because that's just how Digimon does it. Like, they are...
I mean, that's like clearly okay, the Taichi and Yamato.
Yeah. And also, getting ahead of myself, the first person we see when, spoilers, the other kids show up is Sora being completely badass. So, well done, Digimon. Like... The episode passes the Bechdel test because Palmon is a girl.
Yes, I love it so much. Digimon doesn't normally ever pass the Bechdel test, and they did it, and it's wonderful.
Well, I mean, most Mimi episodes do because Mimi and Palmon interact.
That's true.
Like, which is great. And, because usually, yeah, I was about to say, oh, it doesn't pass it, but then I was like, oh no, Palmon is a girl. And they talk about cheeseburgers, and Palmon is so good the entire episode.
I love it.
It's great. So when they arrive at Shibuya Station, Mimi wants to introduce her family to Palmon, and Tentomon wonders if it'll be okay. And then Koshiro finally notices that nobody has noticed their Digimon. And Mimi kind of shrugs it off. I'm like, oh, whatever. They're paying attention to other things, which, to be fair, and Quinn, you probably had a similar experience in Japan, like... It's so crowded, but everyone is just ignoring the existence of everyone else.
That's very true. And I'm like, honestly here for it. It's one of my favorite things about wandering around Japan.
Yeah, like, it'll be really crowded and everyone's just looking ahead, but they're almost looking through the crowds because it's just so nice. They're just very much... You could be doing something completely awful and disrespectful, and you shouldn't, for starters, because be nice, but you won't... You might get a small bit of a stink eye... But, like, that's no a, one will do anything.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, people will give you the stink eye just for being a foreigner.
Mm.
Until you speak Japanese, and then they won't give you the stink eye anymore.
That's true.
Which is incredible. It's like a superpower. Like, yeah. I don't get the Jozus anymore because I guess my Japanese is just...
Actually good.
Yeah. They'll Jozu you for, like, basic Japanese, but as soon as you speak anything more than, like, a couple of... random phrases, you will be suddenly just, okay, they're just, just another white person living in Japan, probably a language teacher or something, like...
Yep. Oh my god. Trying to return a dress that I had bought in Japan was, like, the most wild experience because I had none of the vocabulary.
Yeah, I was glad that I had my dictionary that I was just able to just double, because sometimes I wasn't 100% on a bit of vocab, and I'm like, okay, quick look up, okay, cool, but Japan's good, and I guess that makes the not realizing that there are Digimon there or not making any comments about them, like, that's just Japan.
Yeah, up to and a point also, it kind of works.
Yeah, and also mascot costumes, like, there are a lot of mascots and things for shopping centres or certain things, so I guess at the corner of your eye, if you're not looking, like, oh, that's just another mascot, or that's just something, I don't know, which I guess imagine that.
They're just like, Yaman, just if anybody asks, you're in cosplay.
Yeah, which, again, I'm pretty sure the dub will make a reference to the Digimon being there and being more or less ignored. But so Mimi splits from the group and Koshiro and Taichi get back on the subway, and Taichi is wondering if Yamato's group, which now we're calling them Yamato's group, and Mimi calls them Sora's sexist group, so it's nobody's calling it Joe's group.
I mean, he's the leader, we don't need to.
I mean, Joe is the oldest, so I would. But, so Koshiro wonders if the disaster really ended because they haven't really done anything. Meanwhile, Mimi's reading a map, and then another relatable Japan experience. The construction keeps on changing the way that I get home, which is just like, oh, yeah. That is a mood for Japan. Like, I feel like whenever I go to Osaka specifically, but I guess any place in Japan or especially Tokyo as well, I feel like there's always different construction, but I feel like Osaka's the worst. I feel like whenever I go there, Osaka has some huge, giant construction going on near the station, and it's a different detour each time.
Yep. I actually, I'm thinking about it, that was actually a cute little clue that something is going wrong, but it was so easily explained away I didn't even think about it until later. Because, like, the way I get home from work has changed twice in the last 2 months because the city I live in keeps doing way too much road construction.
Yeah, and it's really nice that Mimi sort of explains it away. I'm like, well, that's a good way of explaining that, there is something wrong. But also, Mimi gives it a reason about why she's not immediately put off by the fact that something is wrong. Because she's been gone a couple of weeks and there's been a disaster, so things change.
Oh, God, I really dig the eyes once she finally asks for her burger.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I'm so here for that.
But I'm kind of bummed that when Mimi, says she's going to start imagining Palmon being an avocado, we didn't get,
that would have been so good.
An imagination thing where Palmon was an avocado, because I was so ready to take a screenshot of that, but I was so disappointed because we got just Palmon being blurry.
Yeah, honestly, if they'd done it just right, we could have gotten a screenshot of Avocadomon with a, Digimon analyzer thing.
Oh, that'd be so cute.
It'd be so good. Someone please draw me Avocadomon.
Yes, please. And especially when it looks like Palmon's so good this entire season. So Mimi finally gets to see a Burger Jack, and we find the clerk at the restaurant is on loop and glitches out. And meanwhile, we get a shot of Koshiro mentioning how nobody is acting like there was just a disaster, which, I don't know, I feel like this was a weird thing to say, because how do people act that they were just a disaster? Japan in particular is very much, okay, that happened, time to go back to my normal life.
I mean, yes, but at a minimum, you'd think there would be something on the news. They've passed a couple of different TV shows, screens, you know?
Or, I guess, signs saying, if you see something, weird happening, please report it to this number.
Exactly. There'd be at least that. Some kind of thing would have happened, and it is a little odd that there's just nothing.
Yeah.
Especially realistically, even if Sora had, managed to destroy the cause of the thing, it would have been less than 12 hours ago that everything was still destroyed.
Yeah, and there were fires, I guess. But also, they haven't left the train station, more or less.
Yeah, they never really do manage to.
Yeah, so we get some pretty good moments from the partner Digimon. So Agumon really wants to see scenery, and Taichi says, but we're almost out of the tunnel. And then later on, Agumon mentions how they're not outside yet. And it seems that they're just still at Shibuya Station, which is, I know, it's really nice that the Digimon characters actually have personality, because that is extremely uncommon. Not impossible, because Tamers does it, and Atmon did it.
I will give them that, that is the upside of doing the separation arc that they've done, is they actually have some time to make that happen.
Well, yeah, it was the whole group.
Yeah, that's really what helped with Tamers, I think, is that, instead of having 14, later 16 characters, you have 6 for the most part.
Yeah, and for Tamers, when we did get more characters, they sort of spread them out. Mm-hmm. There was a separation arc, and then they were kind of all across Tokyo.
Right. And then, no one actually cares about Kenta.
Oh, I feel sorry for Kenta, but he's kind of he reminds me of Milhouse.
he really is Milhouse.
Kalsum and Kenta are just Bart and Milhouse.
Yep. Everything's coming up, Kenta.
Poor Kenta. I feel so bad for Kenta. But he looks exactly like Milhouse, except for the blue hair, which I guess in anime usually translates to black hair.
Yeah,
it is Kenta, and Kazu has Bart's hair.
Oh my god, he does. I kind of want to see Bart Tamers in Kazu's shirt, though.
I'm surprised that no one's done that before. I feel like that sort of just, I'm only noticing it now, but that they just look so much like Bart and Milhouse.
They really do. Oh my god.
Yeah. And your personality is a little bit too. But so it's just really nice to see Digimon have personalities other than just, I am so-and-so's Digimon partner. That's my entire personality.
Yep.
Which, the original did have Piyomon being rather clingy and loving.
But yeah, it's not a lot.
Yeah, it's only for one episode and never again. And it's not, and the dub removes it. So
yeah, it's very shallow, you just have to be okay with it. But gosh.
I mean, even Savers, which had a small cast, didn't really have that much characterization put into the Digimon partners.
That's true. There was guy who likes fighting and Digimon who enjoys fighting.
And there was Servant.
Yep.
And then there was... Can anyone tell me any defining moments of Lalamon's personality?
I definitely can.
She was a flower. Arguably, Frontier had Bakumon and Namon who had great characters, but it was only two of the Digimon.
Yeah.
Those were the two. But, also,
Namon being bad
that was
is great, and I hope that Namon comes back.
Yeah, Bakumon and Namon are just... I've mentioned this a lot, but I really want this to be a sequel. A sequel to Frontier, and Frontier being a prequel to this.
That would be neat.
Yeah, and that is Namon. Mm-hmm. Like that, and he's just old now, and that's why he sounds old, because it's been like many years. I don't know.
Yeah, no, so, I'm into it.
Yeah. So Taiji and Koshiro run into Mimi again, and Mimi asks an attendant for advice, but he only says a line about not being able to break any bills. Then a giant eye appears, which is... This episode just becomes
so
Persona.
Ava.
I was thinking Persona, but yeah, Ava too. Like,
I watched Evangelion with my friend the other night, and so that's where I'm going
Did
with.
Your friend enjoy it?
She did. She's sitting here mouthing to me how fucking great it was.
Well, I made Brady watch all of Evangelion, and then we watched End of Evangelion, and he just turned to me and said, yeah, you said that movie would explain things, but I still have more questions. And yeah, he did not enjoy End of Evangelion at all, or Evangelion in general, and was just like, oh no.
I think the way to watch it is what Chloe and I did, which is I sit there as a person who has fallen down an Ava wiki many times and just kind of explain, yeah, this is not explained, but here's what they're going for.
Yeah, I did that too. I was just like, well, you probably missed it, but... Ava Unit 1, spoilers, by the way, for Evangelion, fast forward, like, I guess a minute. Evangelion Unit 1 and Rei are both Shinji's mother. And he's just like, that wasn't explainable. I'm like, yes, it was. It was here. Oh, never mind. Those were just
there
flashes
were
of, like, text
hits.
On the screen.
Yeah.
There was tight, like, and the fact that the girl on the beach is apparently meant to be Misato, Asuka, and Rei combined into one.
I think that's not necessarily true, but you can certainly.
I think the creator, like, I think somebody asked the creator once, and the creator went, oh, yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, fair. Anyway, is not an Ava podcast. However, I do want to give a shout out to Chisai. He is currently drawing me a sketch of some ridiculous fan art joke that I really want. We watched Neo Yokio and then Ava, like, back to back, and so we want Kaz Khan in a plug suit in Unit 1.
I have to watch that, Neo Yokio.
Yeah, Kaz Khan is the main character, who is Jaden Smith, and it's amazing, and I'm gonna make you
watch
this.
Yeah, all I know about the show is Toblerones.
It's, like, unironically, Neo Yokio might be one of my favorite shows ever. I've watched it 6 times since January.
Wow, it's on my list, and I've been meaning to, like, have some, like, just sort of zone-out cartoons to watch, and I think that's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
Not zone-out as in completely zone-out, but, like, zone-out as in, like, zone out from the world.
Yeah, and you don't have to take notes on it.
Yeah, like, it's... Whenever I watch anime, I always feel like I have to take notes, but I'm like, oh, no, podcasting has trained me badly. Like, note time, oh, wait, no, I can just enjoy this.
I tell you what, sometime after maybe the Moncast, when you have, like, 2 more hours, I need to just make you watch Neo Yokio, because it has...
I was gonna watch that as in soon, so...
Yeah, because, oh my god, it has some just amazing lines, such as, it's my sacred duty, you jackass.
Ah, yeah, I've seen screenshots of that, or at least I've heard about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so back to the actual episode. I don't know, I got really Persona vibes from this. Maybe it was being in Shibuya Station, maybe it was the fact that Shibuya Station, like, that there's spooky things going on in the station, which is a lot of Persona 5, or at least the side part. Have you played Persona 5? I can never remember.
I have, and I have very mixed feelings about, you know, everyone at Atlas being transphobic jackasses.
Oh yeah, well, that's a lot of the Persona games, like, yep. Oh, this character's not trans, they are emotional and don't fit in with the society, and I'm like, yeah, that's called being trans!
Yeah, or, you know, sometimes you have a boss fight where the boss, who is your in repressed inner turmoil, tells you specifically, yes, you would like to get hot and sweaty with other men, and then you go, actually, it turns out I'm just effeminate and like sewing.
Yeah, I mean, my OTP is still Kanji and Naruto.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he can still be gay.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if Naruto's a... Yeah, he's a guy. So, that... You can do that. Like, it's okay, Atlas. You can try not to be transphobic for one game, please.
Yeah, they will not.
Yeah, I'd got... Yeah, I got very Persona vibes from this, but also I guess Evangelion also applies.
Yeah, I mean, it was very Persona was kind horror. Of aping Ava, because that's everybody does.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Nothing wrong with that. If you're going to steal, steal from the best.
Yeah. So Agumon evolves after some parts of the area begin to fade and distort out. Greymon then bursts a hole in the roof, and they're able to leave the station. Mimi says that they're able to return home now, but suddenly all the people in Shibuya are very horrifying, and Tachi finally realizes that this isn't their world, they're still in the digital world. Then, and this is really, I really appreciate this cutting, and this was a lot better than the random sort of, this is what happens in the real Tokyo at the moment. It felt a lot more natural because it was along with Taichi's revelation that the real Tokyo in the human world is still, has a disaster happening.
Yeah, yeah. So, and it, like, yeah. It was diegetic. The characters found out at the same time we did, which is good.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we actually get a shot of the real Tokyo, and Hikari's there, and she's evacuating with her mother, and Hikari is just incredibly calm. She's just like, I'm ready.
Yep.
Kinda. Which is just like, which, to be fair, Hikari, I think, is meant to be a little bit,
otherworldly weird. And threatening? Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like that's definitely the way they're going with Hikari in this season. Like, it's not just, like, that character's weird. It's just like, oh, this character's scarily weird. Like, more so than in the original, where Hikari was just kind of like, I've seen Digimon before on the television before you left for camp.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're sort of, like, taking that weirdness and turning it up to 11 because Hikari is just weird.
Honestly, when I thought they were, like, actually back in the real world briefly, I just assumed that Hikari was going to be the only one who could see the Digimon because we're going to use same that, as, yeah. And I'm really glad we're not.
Yeah, I'm really glad it was home away from home, but it wasn't actually home away from home.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I mean, I do like home away from home, but I'm glad that we didn't get it again.
Yeah. No, and I am really glad that we don't have to deal with a whole bunch of inconsistencies about that, because Home Away From Home, like, it was a cool, fun, atmospheric episode that really needed explanation for how any of it happened.
Mm.
But yeah, it is.
Just sort of, yeah, got to put away into digital world weirdness, and that also means we don't have to really explain about how they suddenly got home.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that too. That would have been the thing that bothered me most. It's like, okay, we had to work hard to get here, but I guess we can just walk up some stairs and it's fine. Aizmon, however, I'm super into.
Yeah, like, this is a completely new Digimon, right? Like, I've not seen...
It's not new, it's very obscure.
Yeah, like, it's really nice that not only are we seeing Digimon that haven't really appeared in the show before, like Brachiomon or Soundbirdmon, who had only been sort of shown in Cross Wars, we're also seeing characters who are completely new, so they're also creating new designs, or I mean, at least I think Aizmon seemed to be a completely new Digimon.
Yeah, the name was, and that's just really nice, but other than that, I'm into it.
Yeah. Also important to know that, and I think I might have asked about this at the start of the show, but they do have Miko the cat.
Oh, good.
Yeah, like, Miko's the cat is getting ready for being evacuated too. They have the cat carrier. Miko's just kind of being there. But that's just really nice. Oh, good.
Also,
Miko's still there.
It appears that she's a single mom, and I am a little concerned about her just leaving a note for Tai.
Well, I guess if you really have to leave, and it's...
Yeah.
Again, in Japan is not really, like 10-year-olds will just be on the subway by themselves. Like, that's, like,
no,
completely
I get
unattended.
It. She just doesn't even seem concerned. She's just like, oh,
I think
where
she
did
is
we put the health insurance cards? Anyway.
She seems like she is concerned, but maybe she doesn't want to upset her Jesus child.
That's true.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's left a note for Taichi saying that they're at the grandparents, which... I'm pretty sure that was where they were in Home Away From Home, but not obviously evacuating. They were just visiting.
Right.
Mimi is shaking, which is just probably my favourite part of the episode, that we actually have a character who is terrified. Like, she's terrified because she should be. She thought she was home, and she's not, and she's probably in a lot of danger.
Mm-hmm.
which is what she is most of the time. And it's just really nice that she's actually shaking.
Yeah.
And then Palmon grabs her hand and says that once everything is over, Mimi can still treat her to the avocado cheeseburger in the real city.
Aww.
And it's just such a sweet moment. And it's so nice. Yeah. Even though Palmon's smile is a little bit horrifying.
I mean, yeah, always has been, always.
But she's a front. Yeah. But it's just so nice that Mimi has emotions.
And maybe my favorite subtle thing about this episode is we actually kind of got an explanation for, mechanically speaking, how the power outages happened. Because, you know.
Like, he's copying and pasting it. Yeah.
Yeah, and like, historically that would have been just more digital world weirdness. There would have been some kind of glowing, possibly a dark shadow passing over Earth, something along those lines. But nah.
Yeah, it's all happening.
Does this.
Yeah, and that's just, it's really, yeah, I didn't expect to get an explanation because I'm so used to Digimon taking, you know, the easy way to explain something, which is just like waving hand, oh, digital monsters, things happen.
Mm-hmm. No, so I'm here
but
for it.
I'm here for it. Mimi vows, like, angrily, which is just great, to eat that avocado cheeseburger with Palmon, and then Palmon and Tentomon evolve, and the three adult Digimon fight. And the Digimon that is made of all the ice is called Eyesmon, and he's kind of weirdly creepy, but I kind of love him, just because it's just...
I'm into it.
It's something new. Yeah. It's also horrific. Like, it is nice when we get complicated Digimon designs, but this one is... It's just something. It's nice to see something that's just sort of... Okay, this one is just eyes and is horror.
Yep.
And I'm like, yep, good. Yep. Applause.
It's basically what
good,
if we
good
made
design.
The D-Reaper into a Digimon, and I'm very here for it.
Yeah, well, the D-Reaper's got a not good design, but it's just not good. And then we've got the Eyesmon, which is the D-Reaper, but scary.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
Like, giant blob D-Reaper that you can see through that is just sort of menacingly sitting there. Is not as scary as giant wall of eyes.
Yep, here for it.
Greymon evolves to Metal Greymon in his special animated sequence, and Togemon and Kabuterimon evolve in their shorter sequences, which I mentioned this every episode, but I so much prefer these shorter sequences,
yeah,
and I just...
I kind of wish that everyone had two sets.
And, yeah, depending on what how many evolutions there were and what sort of time restraint they were under.
Right, and like, if we're focusing on a particular character this week, give me their long one, that kind of deal.
Yeah, well, we definitely should have had Togemon, because it was definitely more of a Mimi and Palmon episode than... I mean, it was an everyone episode, like,
yeah.
All the... And that's what
but
I
Mimi
love about
stole
this
the show.
Season. Yeah, Mimi definitely was the highlight of the show, as always.
Also, I appreciate that they are just like, yeah, so Mimi's rich, like... Stupid rich.
Yeah. Which is, you know, makes sense. Her grandfather owns a... She comes from money, basically.
Yeah. Okay, it's fine, Izzy. I'll just buy you a new computer. Don't worry about it.
But she's nice rich. She's not like a rich bitch. She's...
Oh, no,
like,
no.
She's like, I want everyone to prosper from my money. I want everyone to have money. Which is, I don't know. She's great. Mimi is
Comrade
the
Mimi.
Socialist queen. Yeah. So, Eyesmon vanishes behind a building that he summons before Metal Greymon attacks. And then he launches lasers at Metal Greymon. The same thing happens to the Kabuterimon, and Lilymon gets an airplane yeeted at her instead.
Yep, like you do.
It's kind of cool. We find out that Eyesmon is actually just an adult-level Digimon, but it eats and spawns data, and Mimi, being the best, points out, oh, it's copying and pasting data. And I'm like, whoa, Mimi, well done having,
Mimi
like...
Mimi knows things.
Like, how often would we have just an explanation like this and it just always being Koshiro?
Yeah. Well, and technically I would go with it's cutting and pasting. It's an important distinction here. But, you know, close enough.
But Mimi's not the computer character.
No. But no, I'm
so,
super
like,
into
I'm glad
it.
That she... Yeah, I'm glad that she's sort of right. Like, mm-hmm. she's there.
Yeah.
So Koshiro says that Eyesmon is causing the power failure, and Eyesmon drops a building on the kids, but Garudamon and Sora show up, and it's so cool. And then Zudamon shows up with Yamato, Wegurumon, and Joe riding him, and I'd like to point out that Wegurumon's just sort of sitting there cross-legged, and he looks so grumpy that they're travelling on another Digimon that isn't him.
Yep.
And another highlight is Joe's wondering if he'll get in trouble for destroying these things.
It's very good.
Like, oh, Joe.
The cavalry rushing in was well-timed, and I'm actually sort of glad we didn't just constantly cut away to them.
Yeah, well, it kind of makes... The only problem with that is that it didn't really explain how they got there, but I'm going to assume it's just the same random cave.
That's fair. I'm hoping they give us something next week, because, like, I think that would be a reasonable thing to ask, like, how did you get here? But for the moment, I'm all right with it.
Yeah, like, it's definitely something that should be answered, but for the, like, there's no time to explain that in this episode, which is fine. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad that we and surprised that we had Garudamon doing, like, the first cool attack, and then we had Zudamon showing up and doing a cool attack, and then only after that where Garudamon was able to, and failed.
Mm-hmm.
Which is surprising because he's, you know, the quote-unquote other main character. So, well done, writers, for giving Garudamon the ability to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so all the perfect level Digimon attack at once, which in this circumstance, I don't mind it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they tried to be strategic first and attack at different times. This one's sort of like, okay, they're just saying we have to attack all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine when they decide to do that. That's on a very occasion.
Cool animation when they do it.
Yeah, it's kind of like that one group attack in Tamers that was only used in one of the movies and never again.
I don't know what you're talking about, but alright.
It's in the Okinawa movie, I think, and they decide to all attack at once and they form like a special
attack. Oh, right, they had a card for that.
Yeah, they had a card for it, but they didn't have, like, it was never used again. It was like this all-powerful move that three perfects could use to destroy an ultimate level Digimon. But it was never used again.
Yeah, you know what? I'm fine with it.
Yeah. It was movie unique. It was, Anyway, so Aizmon builds a building shield, but the characters are able to break through it with their combined attack, and they finally destroy Aizmon. And then Koshiro's internet connects, and he learns that the real Tokyo is in its third night, and it's been 72 hours, and Koshiro is now receiving the updates at real time, and then Orochimon from that episode of Tamers where he drinks sake shows up.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure. I'm flipping back through, but I don't think Aizmon is actually destroyed, just kind of beaten back, because I thought I saw some more eyes on the ground.
Oh, yeah, he definitely, like, fades away at the end, but he's just sort of beaten in the eyes of the character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so anyway, important to note, not destroyed, likely to come back, I think.
So, highlights. What were your highlights of this episode? Because I have a lot.
Mimi. Just all of Mimi.
Yeah, Mimi forever. Like, it's just in general. And Palamon too. Like, Palamon calming down Mimi is just... it's really nice. We get it with Gomamon and Joe a lot, but it is really nice to see it with Palamon and Mimi. The fact that Mimi was actually having emotions, like, the fact that she was shaking, like, she was scared. She was terrified. This is a terrifying thing for to happen to a kid. Like, she thought she was home, and now she's realized she's in danger.
Yeah.
Like, Digimon often shows that the characters are just scared.
If I want to narrow it down, my absolute, like, the moment that I took a screenshot of was Mimi just being overjoyed at the thought of a shower, because, God, that's relatable.
Yeah, and just also, I'm surprised more characters aren't just like, I want to bathe.
Right?
Because
like, it's been weeks.
Yeah, like, nobody likes to be smelly or dirty. It's a gross feeling when your skin is gross. Like,
I will say, and you know, no one likes that. Low light.
We have low lights?
I have one.
Yeah, well, yeah, I have a lot of highlights, and they're all Mimi related. The fact that the show continues to have episodes where, you know, either one character's the focus and still the other characters are, or everyone's the focus and it's just evenly distributed, well, except for the fact I think Mimi got a little bit more than the other characters in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really nice. It's just, I don't have anywhere else to go with that. I just really appreciate the fact that we're giving attention to Mimi and not making her seem dumb. We're making her seem very realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's still girly. She's still definitely girly, which is fine. She still likes shopping. She still likes listening to music. She's still, you know, that's still her character. But they don't make her weak because of it. And
yeah,
I just,
like, and the list
really
of
nice
things she wants to do is super reasonable. Like, I'm gonna get a shower. I'm gonna eat a great meal. I'm gonna ship Palamon around. We should all meet up later. It'll be fun. I'm honestly a little surprised she didn't just, like, invite them to go take showers at her place.
Yeah, like, oh, we have five bathrooms, so we can do it.
Yeah. No, Mimi was great.
Really nice.
God, I love the atmosphere. I love Aizmon.
It was very creepy.
Yeah, the whole atmosphere. And I really appreciated that we actually got an explanation for how the power outages happened. It still doesn't make a lot of sense, but, you know, it's not just, oh yeah, it just happened. And it wasn't just somebody's arm glowed and made it happen.
Mm. Have you noticed that the majority of the episodes that we say are good are ones that focuses on Mimi?
Yes. Yes, I have noticed that. It's super obvious because Mimi is the best.
I feel like the writers really like Mimi.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They just, should. Everyone like, should like Mimi.
Like, I feel like they maybe don't like Sora. They've sort of made Joe kind of have a few moments to just, like, they've make him Joe seem kind of useless. Yeah, and Koshiro was missing for, like, a chunk of episodes. Taichi and Yamato were just compulsory main characters. But Mimi they've made actually good. Yeah. And it's just, like, I mean, he's always been good. Like, I don't know why I'm saying actually good. She's always been good, but they've just made her better.
Yeah. I am hopeful that we'll get a little bit more of, like, a mini arc for each character at some point, but hopefully not all in a row, because you don't need that.
I want them to have the evolutions to Ultimate slightly spread out from each other.
Yeah, and, like, give each person their own episode before we get to that, please.
Yeah, and especially to a lot of them, we haven't really seen the relationship between the human and their partner, Digimon, mm-hmm. except for, like, Mimi and Palmon and Joe and Gomamon. There's not really much else.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you anything about the dynamics between Yamato and Gabumon other than, you know, Gabumon is a good boy.
Yeah, then that same with Agumon and Taichi. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just sort of like, Agumon's there. Like, Agumon does not, like, he's not, like, the hungry little demon that he was in Try.
No, but that he's also not means really... he just doesn't do kind of anything. He makes zero decisions. He wants to attack and protect, but he doesn't have a last thing.
Like, yeah, but that was Agumon's personality in the first season, and now we're still getting not much from Agumon. Like, it's just... Yeah, and then Tai's just seeming more sort of blank as a character.
Yeah, he really kind of is.
Which I guess that's sort of like a low light, which, unless we have any more highlights.
No, I think I'm going to move on. It was a good episode overall, and we said so.
I think we basically addressed our highlights in the synopsis anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so lowlights, I guess I do have one. The fact that Koshiro and Taichi felt kind of flat.
They did. And I was, like I said, I was willing to give that for Koshiro, who is at least picking up on things being weird, but Tai just felt barely there.
Yeah, Tai just felt like an extension of Koshiro sort of just saying, oh, no, there's no one reacting to the Digimon. Yep, there's no one really reacting. Oh, we're not outside yet. Yep, we're not outside yet. It was very much Taichi could have been... The same episode could have transpired, but Taichi just not have been there at all.
Mm-hmm. But my other lowlight is that it's really weird to me that, hey, we're back in the real world. Let's contact the others. Never happened. Like, it seems weird that they didn't even go, huh, Digivices aren't working.
Yeah, well, they did mention at least the other group a little bit. They did say, I wonder if they're back too, but that didn't go anywhere. It didn't go to, let's see if we can contact them. Exactly. Oh, we can't. That's weird.
It felt really weird that they didn't even try.
Yeah, I know, I agree with that. But at least they were thought of. At least Mimi says, oh, Sora's group must have defeated the big bad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm here for that. I just, yeah, the lack of intention of, like, you have the ability to call Sora and ask.
Yeah, and they are home. It should work, because we saw Taichi and Koshiro being able to contact each other over a slightly longer distance in Tokyo.
Right, and I think we even saw Koshiro talking to Taichi over different dimensions, which really makes it feel like the we're too far away from them thing shouldn't be much of an issue.
It's plot device. But it also, I took that the other dimension was kind of just another layer that was on top of that, so they might have actually been at the same level in terms of where they were, just on different dimensions, so maybe that's why they could communicate, but I see your point.
Yeah.
Any other lowlights? Because I just have them feeling flat. I don't really have many lowlights.
Mimi never did get to eat.
Yeah, well, that was also the point. She's angry that she didn't get to eat.
Yes, no, I was super here for that. I hope next week we get to see her making some yummy foods or something. Because it feels like they're just living off of whatever Sora happened to bring along.
I think they don't really have to eat. It's not been said in this season, I don't think, but I don't think they need to eat in the digital world because they're data.
I mean, I feel like that's just kind of lazy.
Yeah, well, that's what the original series said.
Yeah. And it was lazy then.
To be lazy. So they didn't have to focus on food every like, episode.
Right, but, like, the Digimon still have to have all the food, so we didn't really get rid of that problem.
Yeah. I really hope that we get to, when we do eventually go back to the human world for real, I want Mimi to just continue this personality. I want her to say, okay, Burger Jack time, and she just treats everyone to lunch.
Yeah, yeah. That, like, actually would be a really solid episode. Mimi just has them bring avocado burgers for everyone to the house.
Yeah, and, like, just Uber Eats is it. But it's just, yeah, I don't really have that many lowlights. I like the episode. If we go on for any longer, I'm just going to explain about how Mimi is the best again, so.
That's fair.
What about comparisons? Because I don't really have many. The only episode that you can compare it to is Home Away From Home, which I think this did it better.
Yeah.
Like, it was still the same.
Better. I wish that Hikari mattered at all so far, but
I think they're building to something.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mostly just Ty not caring about her slightly is off-putting.
Yeah, that was weird. Unless he knew from the start it wasn't real, which there was no evidence to say.
No, I mean
that was the case.
Said something.
Yeah. Are we ready to move on to characters?
Sure.
All right. So I couldn't pick Mimi. I had to pick Palmon.
Then I'm going to go with Mimi, and we'll have our bases covered.
Which is fair, because I'm like, well, somebody else is going to pick Mimi, and I really do like Palmon in this episode. I think Palmon calming down Mimi was, like, just made it so much better, and as... I really want an avocado cheeseburger now. I know I'm keto, but I can get, like, some keto bread.
Have a cheat day.
No, I already had my cheat day this month. Oh. I have one cheat day a month.
Oof, that's
I had a one. I had a 1 kilogram burrito.
You know, because that's quite a cheat.
And then I got ice cream Uber Eats to me. So every year the Mexican place that I like does a kilogram burrito, and they do this in May, but they couldn't do it in May this year, so they kind of wanted to hold it off until the lockdown ended. But the lockdown sort of it got worse,
yeah.
So they just had a they said, okay, it's 50% on menu log. And we're like, okay, and then we got it, and it was great. But that was my cheat day this month. So I'll have an avocado cheeseburger. Now, I think some people don't do it without any cheat days, but I'm going to allow myself one a month just because, like, every so often I just want... Like, last month my cheat day was the Nutella pizza and the family size pizza.
Yeah.
But this time, yeah, avocado cheeseburger is, like, that's my next time. Where am I? So favorite character, we'll obviously read out Stevie's and Stevie's stance later on.
Yep.
So what was the rating for this episode? And my mind might go high depending on what you say.
I think I'm going to go with a 4.5 again. I still think we can do a little better. And, you know, I'm even tempted to do 4.75. I don't know if you'll allow that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. It's the best one so far. It's an improvement over the previous episodes, but I still think we can eke more out of this.
Yeah, I gave it a 4.5 originally, but it's very much like, it was so close to being, if you said 5, I would have said 5 as well. I might have to also, I'm just going to give it a 4.75 because,
yeah.
Though I think in my rating, I definitely gave it a, yeah, I gave, the last thing I gave a 4.5 to was episode 5, which in hindsight does not deserve it, so this is very much a lot better than that one, that episode, so 4.75. As for ranking, I put it in 5th place, so under episode 12, Lilymon Blossoms, episode 14, The King of Insects Clash, episode 15, Zudamon's Iron Hammer of Lightning, episode 6, The Target Kingdom, and then episode 16, and then followed by episode 5, The Holy Digimon. Whereabouts are we putting episode 16 for you?
I think I'm going to stick to the numbers and say it's the best one so far.
Yeah, that's fair. I will quickly do that. Oh, that's the wrong episode. There we are. Yeah, I agree. It's probably definitely one of the best episodes, but the fact that the characters felt a little bit flat to me just sort of... I don't know. I maybe it's because we focused on more characters than the evolution episodes, which more or less focused on one character and then bits of other characters. This one focused on 3 human characters primarily, mm-hmm. and only one stood out. So
yeah,
yeah. Next, Stevie stance. So I will scroll up and I will. So overall thoughts. Stevie says that they got duped by the cliffhanger last time, but figured it would it out pretty quickly once the episode showed this world for more than 5 seconds, and I would agree. Stevie says that was a nice twist, taking Devimon's trick from the original series and really upscaling it, even if the villain doing it was kind of meh. Icemon looks cool, but it felt more like a coincidence that it made this fake Tokyo rather than a plan of any kind. I mean, yeah, I agree, but I think that's kind of almost the charm to it, that it just sort of felt like it.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, like, this, I mean, this was clearly Devimon's plan to do something or other. We don't know what that is yet, but making a fake Tokyo was not a plan to kill the children or anything. It was just a thing they were doing for power, which I'm
yeah,
here
it just,
for.
It just kind of be like that. Stevie continues to say that it was glad to see the group back together, even if Garudamon's dramatic entrance was lame. You take that back, Stevie. I liked the dramatic entrance. Garudamon was the best. Show the attack landing and then Garudamon, not the other way around.
That's fair.
I thought it was fine. Zudamon charging him was rad, though. He's a speedy boy. Fight itself was fine, but mostly enjoyed it because we saw the Ultimates get hit with multiple large objects. And that is fair. I'm glad that there was some danger. It wasn't just, oh, look, he's firing the laser again.
Yep, yep.
It made it sort of dynamic. Also, Agumon to Metal Greymon got more Digivolution time than the other two combined by a long shot, which sucks. And yeah, I think that will always suck. That is like a consistent low light of... It feels out of place as well because they suddenly have this evolution sequence and then they go to Shining Lights. It just feels kind of weirdly paced, and I don't know, it's just weird. Stevie says, if Mimi hadn't kept harping on about some avocado cheeseburger all episode, which I think was my favourite part of the episode, it might have been her. So Stevie says Izzy, which is honestly a surprise. I thought Mimi was going to just
sweep.
Completely bowl everyone over, but I guess Stevie didn't like the avocado cheeseburger.
Mm.
Stevie then says, for rating, 2.5 out of 5. That's a surprise.
Mm.
No. So, 2.5, which means that this episode, its overall score is 12, which is now tied with episode 1. So, we have to decide whether or not we liked this episode more than episode 1. I guess I'll just look at Stevie's ranking.
Yeah.
13th, so it comes just below episode 7. So let's see. So Stevie put that in, wow, fourth last place.
Wow.
That's...
Huh.
So...
I'll be curious to talk to them next week and see if they want to... I'm curious to see how we interpreted the same thing very differently.
Yeah, like, I loved that. I thought that was clear...
Surprised.
Yeah. No, it is also good that we don't always share the same opinion. Like, I think I've given... episode 5, I gave a 4.5, where you and Stevie gave, like, a 3.5 and a 2.5. So it's good when we're not all saying, well, that was an episode that we all liked. It is. No, that is good.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we basically have, you know, our overall ranking, with that giving us 12 points, that makes it equal with episodes 1 and episode 9. So episode 9 was the Ultimate Invasion... which is the Ogamon one. Episode 1 was obviously Tokyo Digital Crisis. So we gave, in our overall, which I will share with in Discord, our overall we put 1 and 9, 1 we liked more than 9. I think I'm willing to put it above 1.
I would,
but that may change.
Yeah, I'm willing to agree with that as well, and I think we can both agree that Stevie would presumably vote against that.
So we can put it there for now, but we can talk about it next episode whether or not Stevie disagrees with that or not, because Stevie put it obviously quite a lot below 1 and 9, but both you and I have put it obviously higher than 9 being my 11th place and 1 being my 7th place, and you put Quinn, you also have no, episode 1 is in your 6th place, and episode 9 you have in 12th place.
Yeah, so I definitely agree that it's better than either of those, so that's fine by me, but yeah, we'll wait and have that discussion with Stevie.
Yeah, that may change when Stevie can put in, defend their place in the ranking, but, so that might change. We might decide it's between 1 and 9, so it depends how Stevie feels about that. But, yeah, so that was Stevie's stance.
Mm-hmm.
So next, we'll be reading some questions and comments on Postmon Pat. So they're all from YouTube again, because since I started trying to put more work into the YouTube channel, basically a lot of the feedback comes from YouTube. First of all, just before we jump into that, some people pointed this out, and I'd actually read it from the Wikimon Twitter account like 5 minutes after uploading the episode, but the Digimon that we see in Zudamon's evolution is Archilomon, which is like a turtle, and that's where Zudamon gets his turtle shell from.
Yeah, I had no idea, and but fair.
If I recall correctly, it's another Armor Evolution character.
Neat.
But that's where the shell comes from. I can't remember if I posted a picture of it in the chat. It doesn't really look like Zudamon's shell, but it's definitely the Digimon that's seen. So it's not Plesiomon. So it's likely that we won't get
anything really cool out of these.
Yeah, so I just posted Archilomon in the Discord chat just so you can see who I'm talking about. But it's Wormmon with the Digimental Sincerity, which is a weird choice. It's a knife turtle. He's got knife arms.
I'm here for it.
But yeah, that's definitely the Digimon that was there. It's not Plesiomon, so unlikely that the Mugendramon was a hint for a dark evolution. It's what I originally thought, which is that's just a part of that Digimon.
Yeah.
Because Metal Greymon is scrap metal.
It makes sense thematically, but it is a shame. Also, it's really sad that the Zudamon does not carry either of the knife arms as, like, a side weapon.
Yeah, like, him just... Imagine if it was just, like, he threw knives. Like, he was this, in, like, sort of ninja or rogue or something. He was like, ping, 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 and you just throw knives. Right. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be fun, but oh well.
Yeah. So on to Postmon Pat. Hunting Tora on YouTube asks us, what do we think of the possibility of Takeru having been in the digital world the entire time? The new ending could be possibly hinting at this, with him just out of sight of the rest of the group. Plus, we've only heard from him that one time when he was speaking with Matt on the phone. Perhaps that's why we haven't had any exposition scenes with him in the real world, because they're wanting to save the reveal of him being in the digital world. I really like this possibility, as it would be nice contrast to Takeru from the original. He'd have to be independent early on, and we get less of the crybaby kid little trope and that we got in the early episodes of Adventure. I'm not sure how likely this is, especially with the end of the episode. Still interesting food for thought. And I didn't even think about that possibility, but the ending song definitely... Now I think about it, which,
yeah.
By the way, the ending song gets better every week.
I'm here for it.
I love it. And the animation just like A+. But back to the discussion is that I didn't even consider that, and now that's my headcanon. He's been there the entire time.
I would be down for that.
Yeah, because it explains the thing we've complained about. Like, hey, why haven't we gotten any Takeru in the real world? Because he's not there.
That's fair.
That's great.
I hope that's true.
I think I'm going to be disappointed now. I've only heard of that theory now. I think I'm going to be disappointed if that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, we haven't had any shots of Takeru, and that the reason would be they don't want to spoil the fact that he's been here the entire time.
No, I will say, if Yamato knows that and just didn't tell us, then I'll be a little disappointed.
I don't think Yamato would know, because he straight up said that he doesn't know how his brother is in the human world, because and that's why he's acting like this and wants to get home, because he's worried about his brother. So I don't think Yamato knows. I think he may know that he's a chosen child, but judging by that phone call we had very early on, Yamato has told him to stay in the human world.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Takeru has listened, so...
Yeah, or has been...
Thank you, Hunting Tora. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. I misread the name. It is Haunting Tora, which is much more spoopy.
Yep, big spoops.
Very spoop. But yeah, great theory. Never thought of it before, but now it's my favourite theory in the whole show, so thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And if anyone has any of these sort of theories, please send them, because I would like to have theories too, and all my theories are just like, well, this is a Frontier sequel, plainly.
That would be cool. I'm still on board with that. But I'd be down.
Oh yeah, it's not going to happen, but if it happened, like, it'd probably be one of the best things in all of Digimon, just to, like, Frontier's one of my least favourite seasons, but it's my favourite season in terms of the lore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it has great lore, it just doesn't have very good writing.
Yeah, the world building's fantastic. It's a season that peaked very early on,
mm-hmm.
but still had episodes during those, like, that were terrible in that peak. But I remember having, before Tri came out, a lot of people on the internet were saying that their theory was that Frontier was a prequel to the original Adventure, and they were the original Chosen.
Yeah, the idea's been around for forever, but...
Yeah, until, like, Tri said, no, these are the chosen children.
Yeah.
But I kind of always liked that theory, except for the fact that Adventure took place in 1999, and Frontier definitely took place a couple of years later because of the existence of the mobile phones that people just sort of had that were small.
Yep.
So now, if we just say Frontier from 2001, or whatever year it came out, I think maybe a bit later than that actually, is the prequel, that makes so much more sense, and then means that we may get to fix that show.
I mean, no, nothing can fix that show, but it would be slightly
I think a complete rewrite could fix that show.
Oh, I mean, yeah, if you were to completely redo it, sure, but I don't expect, like, that.
Adventure didn't deserve a reboot, it just sort of, like, deserved to just be left alone, like, no more Adventure, it is just average as a show, we'll accept that. Frontier would be good to have a complete reboot because it would...
Yeah, I mean, I think
it could be a... Yeah, and I think we've mentioned that before, but yeah, I do like Frontier's lore and world building, though.
Yeah.
So next we have Sliss Games on YouTube saying that they really hope we don't get two different Mega Ultimates for the characters, since that will mean we have two different evolution arcs instead of one. It depends on how they would go about it, but I guess... is leaning towards, no, we just have one evolution arc for Ultimates, one evolution. We don't get split evolutions like I was hoping.
So far, yeah. I'd be down for it if it happened. I'd even be down for it.
Yeah,
just,
oh, me too.
What if there were multiple final stage evolutions would be cool, but...
I mean, split evolutions is something that Digimon has had as a mechanic since before the anime.
Yeah.
But has never actually shown, except for armor evolutions and slide evolutions, I guess.
I think they always worried about kids being able to keep track of, you know, which character is which person if they not only have four separate looks, but now we...
And yet, Digimon Adventure, the original,
I know,
gave us so many names, so... Yep. But yeah, I see that point, but I would really...
I'd be super into it, but...
Yeah, I mean, 02 almost... Did it?
Almost, yeah.
We had two armor evolutions, well, some more, and evolution to adult.
Yep.
So next, King Pickablue on YouTube says, my wife and I immediately assumed that the real world at the end of the episode was a fake out, and the next episode would be about discovering they're in a trap. You got it. You and your wife are top of the class.
Yep.
Plebs like us did not realize, because in hindsight, yeah, that...
But
I thought it was just bad writing, and I'm just like, okay, real world now, make it easy. But no, it was a trap.
It was.
And King Pickablue says they never even considered the idea that it was actually the real world, so it was interesting to hear that we had the opposite takeaway, and yeah, I feel kind of silly now, because I'm like, oh, that's definitely real, it's of course real. Like, the whole time I was like, that's real until the start of the episode happened.
Yeah, although, I mean, it is the first time in, I don't think ever, that anyone's, like, constructed a fake real world. Which is neat. I'm here for it.
Well, yeah, I mean, Devimon did the mansion.
Yeah,
but not the whole real world.
Yeah, even that was not, like, you're in the real world. They were very much still in the world. They had just walked into a building. And we had lots of that in Devimon.
Yeah. So, next, we have Adam on YouTube, who says, what's with all the Chrome Digizoid hate? Is it an old inside joke? And they like the idea of the crazy strong elements like Kachin in Dragon Ball or Vibranium in Marvel. I don't know. I think it's because it's just sort of the way it's been written is sort of easy writing. Like, it's just sort of like, oh, we've got this magical power stone.
Yeah, Unobtainium or whatever you want to call it is always kind of a bad decision unless there's a, like, pretty good reason to have it, and Digimon really never justifies having it to begin with, except that, oh my god, that armor is strong in ways that are not meaningfully different than if you just never said what the armor is made of. And then
also,
there are seven kinds or something.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, I remember I first noticed it in Adventure when it was just like, hey, why was that attack so strong? Oh, it's because this Digimon is weak to Chrome Digizoid. And it was very much just like writing to explain something in one word or less.
Yeah.
Like, it just, well, one word or less, one sentence or less. It just sort of, it sort of seems like lazy writing most of the time. I'm sure it can be done right, but... Digimon and me liking this episode and being surprised by this episode is evidence to show that Digimon, I do not expect to write things well.
Yeah, pretty much.
Kylion, yep.
I'm sorry, I have one more thing to say on the Chrome Digizoid thing, which is we never brought it up until you know, the first time someone used it to kill a thing way outside their weight class, and that's really all it was for.
Yeah.
If you're gonna do something like that, at least Chekhov's gun it for me.
Yeah, it's a plot convenience. It's a riding something away. Kylie then asks, and this is, I guess, not, now we know what this episode was, it's kind of sort of a moot point, but if TK does come back, how would he interact with Mimi, Ty, and Izzy? And I guess it's something we never have to know now.
Yep.
Which is, I mean, I think that they would have no reason to know that that's Yamato's brother.
No, I don't even think he gave them his name, and even if they had, like, he's not the only Takaru in Japan.
Yeah, I feel like they would just sort of say, oh, look, a new kid, and Tai might be like, oh, I have a younger sibling your age, I will protect you, and
yeah.
I guess, yeah, that would probably be it, but I guess we now don't have to worry about that. And then, finally, Godri on YouTube says, drinking game, take a shot every time somebody makes an ice pun, intentional or not, and please don't do that. We said we made far too many ice puns in a very short amount of time.
It is ice to hear that people enjoyed that, though.
Yeah, I was dying. Like, I was just like, and when I was editing the episode, I was still dying again. Like, that was just so, because every time you say something is cool, like, you're like, oh, no. But, yeah, so I'm glad that that was enjoyed by listeners. Do we have any other discussion points, or are we ready to wrap this up?
I'm ready to wrap this up.
So, thanks to everyone for listening. So, we'll be watching episode 17, The Battle in Tokyo Against Orochimon, and we'll also have Stevie defending where they think the this episode should be in the overall ranking.
Hopefully, assuming nothing comes up again.
Yeah, well, we'll get Stevie to write something down just in case.
Yeah.
So do we have any predictions? Because I think that the episode titles were all leaked a couple of, like, I think around Izzy's Evolution episode, all the, like, episodes 16, 17, yeah. 18, 19's titles were given. So the fact that it says the battle in Tokyo, I feel like
we're talking about fake Tokyo still.
Yeah, I think we are still talking about the fake Tokyo, but it is interesting to note that we're calling it Tokyo, and I'm actually impressed that we actually didn't spoil something in a show in terms of the episode titles.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm here for that, and then I am interested to see what they'll do now that they've, like, constructed an elaborate scenario where we don't have to worry about collateral damage.
Yeah. I guess we're just sort of destroying things now.
Yeah.
Which I guess, yeah, Digimon has a lot of things like, oh, we'll destroy that. Well, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I don't have many predictions. They're just going to fight Orochimon, and they might find out a bit more.
Character heavy. Yeah, I would think we'll end on finally finding out something about Devimon.
Or at least, I think Orochimon might be a goon of Devimon.
But it's been a while since Devimon even had a cameo, so that would be good.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad they're delaying him, because it's kind of nice that we're not jumping between bad guys.
That's true.
I still really want the Dark Masters arc, though. I really like the Dark Masters arc.
I was into them, and we know it would make Chisai happy.
Yeah. And also, like, I think everyone has their favourite Dark Master. Like, mine is Machinedramon, for no reason other than I really like Machinedramon. Also, he's probably the first bad guy in history to actually say, I'm going to drop nukes on the kids.
Yep.
And also Puppetmon. Puppetmon wanted to shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Puppetmon had the best episode.
He did.
I just really like Mugendramon as a Digimon.
Also, I was actually pretty into the Cross Wars Puppetmon.
Oh, yeah, the fact he lied and his nose grew.
Yep.
Yeah.
Into it.
But I think no matter who you ask, everyone will have a different Dark Master, or it's pretty evenly spread is what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I'm sure someone likes Metal Seadramon.
I've never met them if they do, but probably someone.
I know people who love Deep Savers, so they'll probably say they would probably say Metal Seadramon because they like Deep Savers, and similar to why my favorite, I really like Metal Empire. Like, I think Wind Guardians is my favorite, but Metal Empire is the next.
That's fair.
The next one. But, yeah, I like Dark Masters. I would hope that they would do it well.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's more of a prediction for the long run of the show. And hey, 50 more episodes.
Yeah.
Because we've got 66 episodes in this season. So, we could still get Edamon, who is, I think, all the bad guys except for Devimon.
I love how great Edamon is.
Oh, absolutely. And I want Vamdemon as well. I do like Vamdemon.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we've got to get back to the real world eventually. But anyway, so any other thoughts?
I don't think so.
Okie dokie. So, of course, thank you to Quinn for joining me, and thank you to Stevie and Spirit for sending through their thoughts.
Indeed. It was really impressive that they did that over a Ouija board.
Yeah, it was. We had to summon Stevie. Anyway, so the link dump's linked in the description, and a Redbubble's also linked in the description, and you've got more than just shirts there too. Contact us and stay updated. You can email us at lostintranslationmon@gmail.com, or you can comment on this episode or message us on our website, lostintranslationmon.com. You can also vote in polls, which I will be setting up a Twitter post saying, hey, give us names for Quinn's Roomba. I almost said Quinn's cat, but nope. Quinn's cat has a name.
You me is a good, but yes, my...
Yeah, the Roomba.
My robot vacuum does need a name, and while Charles would be very good and Neo Yokio, and my friend Chloe is nodding at me that would be amazing, I think mm-hmm. I'm going to leave it up to the viewers.
Yeah, so I will post a Twitter... I will post a Twitter. Yeah. I'll make it a unique Twitter. No, I'll make a Twitter post about it. Check a release schedule and a blog post also on our website. You can follow us at Translation on Twitter, and you can find us on Lost in Translation on Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We have a discussion about it on With the Will and a red thread in the Digimon subreddit. And we would also appreciate any podcast reviews on any podcast listening service you use. We haven't gotten one for, I want to say 2 years, because I guess no one uses iTunes or Apple Podcasts or whatever it's called anymore, and other podcast platforms don't have a rating system, or the majority of them don't. But if you do find a way to leave us a review, we will read it out. And you can also donate to the Patreon, which is linked in the description, from as little as $1 a month. That gets you access to an illicit Discord server, but there are higher levels, more rewards, such as notes, early episodes, and more. And thank you to our current supporters on Patreon, Joe, Anime Guy, who is Anime Guy, Kurosaki1 on YouTube, Stephen Reeves, who is Ugmawa64 on Archive of Our Own, Kadawashi, Chisai, who can follow at Tumblr at Chisai236, Kyle, Lismet, who is Alekmon on Tumblr, Nicholas, Metal Maimon, Sam, Spiral, Keith from Gone Will Hunting, a Hunter Hunter Rewatch podcast, Silverheadfreak25, Magnus, Lucas, Blindman, and Japhus.
Sorry, that's you can a really also good podcast make... name. I just want to point that out.
Oh yeah, Gone Will Hunting, that's A+. Like, that is good. And also Hunter x Hunter is just like, that is a good show.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have any, like, female main character, but that means they don't have to insert any love interest, which is,
that's fair.
Yay, A+. And you can also make one... I finally stumbled. I was doing so well, and I finally flub. You can also make one donation on... I can't say the word donation. You can do a thing on PayPal, which you found in the description. It's paypal.me/Erdramon. Or you can donate to me on Ko-fi, ko-fi.com/Erdra. And Quinn, anything to plug?
Not today.
Fantastic. So thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me, Quinn. And everyone have a lovely week. And we'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye!